the race is long, and I know I can ride more than 300 kilometers per day. Today is a calm day for me.
You know, the feeling that you are so tired and you see this beautiful view, you forget about everything that it's going bad.
I don't even like cycling.
What do you mean?
Well, it's too much effort, isn't it?
Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. It's day 3 at TCO number 12, and with several hundred kilometers in their legs, our riders are beginning to understand the magnitude of what they've taken on. There are two races taking place today. At the front, it's time for the ferry game. Further back, a large number of riders are pushing hard to reach control point 1 in Flandre before 11 a.m, the cutoff point to stay in general classification. Let's start with an overview of how things stand. Here's race director David Eyre.
Yeah, so last night we stayed at a nice little motel in Moss, so right where the riders are going to be getting the ferry across from Horten to Moss over the Oslofjord. Looking at the tracking map this morning, it looks like everyone who has made it over that last night before the final sailing at about 11:45 has really been pressing on. As it stands, Robin Gempel is still first on the road, now currently level with Copenhagen, so very far south into Sweden, so it looks like he's on course to make that midday crossing that he was aiming for when we saw him at CP1. About 150 kilometres behind, there's a huge chasing pack. All in hot pursuit of Robin. So we have Jocelyn Roth, currently second on the road, Maxime Agut, Christoph Strasser, Nicolas Châtelet, Manu Rudaz, and Lawrence Van Gucht, all making their way down that western Swedish coastline, attempting to get the ferry today, which is also what we'll be doing. So we'll be looking to get down to either Trelleborg or Malmo this evening, and making our way across to mainland Europe again. A little bit further back in the pairs field, Adrian and Pierre-Yves, caps 411A and B, are over the Horten to Moss ferry now and into Sweden, and will be making their way down through the little archipelago islands there by the looks of it, and trying to catch up with those kind of main chasing riders. A little bit further back, the leading Flinter riders, the first couple have already crossed over the Horten to Moss ferry and are close by. And then we have the other six or seven in the top 10 who are all going to be making that in the next couple of hours as well. So those sailings are every 30 minutes or so and take about 20 minutes. So yeah, lots of jam-packed action for us in the next few hours.
There may be jam-packed action ahead, but for our pair on the ground riding outside of GC, Andrew Phillips and John Endres, cap 00A and B, things have come to a grinding halt. John is really starting to struggle with a knee issue.
But yeah, I'm really scared about this knee. I'm like properly worried.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is we don't do you any long-term damage.
Exactly, yeah. Safety is absolutely the most number one important thing. We're sat here inside a hotel right now having a coffee. I know this isn't your idea of racing TCR, but unfortunately, like, it's like a holistic boost, you know what I mean? Just having some space to actually decompress. Like, we're sat inside right now, and that's incredibly helpful. Just to be out of the sun and out of the wind and to feel, yeah, a bit more secure in my own surroundings, it's making me feel calmer. So there's going to be moments like this today where I just need to sort of have a moment. Just need your patience for that.
All right, see what we can do.
Let's head to Flandre with race reporter Sophie Potter.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to CP1 here in contractor number 2. We are spending our morning here. We arrived like 3 hours ago, and we're going to stay until the CP1 closes at 11. Here, riders can get their card, brewery card stamped, get not a shower, but they at least have access to a toilet and The place is basically looks like a bit like a small campsite, and it's surrounded by mountain. It's really peaceful. We can hear the birds, and there is a lot of available grass to put a BV. So around me, there is riders taking a nap, a well-deserved nap once they have their brevet card stamp, before pushing on to the rest of the race. The volunteer explained to me that because there isn't that much signal for the GPS, they are not able to know exactly where the riders are. There is like kind of a dead end. They call it Mordo. So it's a dead end, or like a no man's land zone where they don't get the signal. So they know that there is at least 20 more riders who should make it on time to the CP, but they are not sure because it's hard to know exactly where they are. So we're going to wait for them. We're going to cheer them on as they deserve. Definitely cheering after such an amazing accomplishment. So many kilometers, so many elevation in the cold. So they can all be proud of themselves. And yeah, kind of get that first stamp and then move on to the next chapter. And hopefully listen to some ABBA.
It doesn't take long before riders begin to arrive, having made it comfortably in time for the 11A cutoff. Stephen Haas, Cap 206.
I'm pretty happy, but I'm incredibly exhausted as well. Yeah. So to be honest,
have you been riding through the night, or did you sleep maybe?
No, I sleep in front of the last hill, but no, I'll take some sleep somewhere. Yeah, well, that's done. The idea.
Well done, no?
Yeah. Okay.
First one in the.
First one, yes. Yeah.
Was it hard?
Personally, for me, it was a little bit too much pressure. Honestly spoken. I think I never did 400Ks before in run rush. Mm. So yes it was, but I know that's it's part of the race, but pretty challenging. I don't even know when the closure time will be at the second checkpoint. Don't tell me, please.
I actually don't know it, but okay. that's a problem for tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. that's right. And now, okay. I will lay down in the grass.
Tom Bryan, Cap 379, arrived at CP1 in the early hours, and he's been using the time since to get some well-earned rest.
So yeah. when did you get here?
3:45 this morning, and then the next town on the other side of the pass. It was 11 o'clock at night, and so it felt like a very TCR thing to do, to say, "Hang on, let's go for an extra 50K over this mountain." It will only take a few hours, and I think it took like over four. So, just super glad to be here. Feeling a bit more tired, but I had banked a lot of sleep the night before, so I think it's all in balance, and I'll try and get another good night's sleep tonight. Mm-hmm. Been quite conservative so far on the race, knowing that don't need to be too silly in the first week, but obviously the cut-off point for checkpoint one is quite tight, so it's obviously important for that. But I think not easy going from here, but it does kind of feel good to still be in the GC.
Yeah.
Susanna Bukucha, Cab 158, still sporting her happy face, sad face nails, has also reached CP1 with time to spare.
Hey, you made it!
Yes.
Cool!
So nice.
Yeah. Is it a happy smiley or a sad smiley?
Oh,
for
it's
now?
So happy today. I was crying because of so magnificent. It was the first time when I see fjords, and the route was so amazing that, wow, it's unbelievable. It's hard to say, you know, the feeling that you are so tired and you see this beautiful view, you forget about everything that it's going bad. You just keep smiling.
Good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. How was the night? Because last time I saw you was yesterday morning.
Morning. Yeah. I was bad.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a bad night, and you know, yesterday I thought that I need to stay outside for the next night, as all the hotels were fully booked. I entered the hotel. Okay, they said me fully booked, no way to let in. And I made some shopping in the supermarket, like dinner, breakfast and everything. And I stayed in front of the hotel. like for organizing things. And the guy from reception told me that there's a last minute cancel and they have room for me.
Oh,
yes! Oh yeah, it was so good luck that I'm happy now. I'm a winner.
Oh yes, you are. Yeah.
Fritjof Schirmer, Cap 111, is safely into CP1, but there seems to be a problem with his bike. Warning, unexpected loud noise ahead.
I can see we are having a bit of a situation. I see you like...
Did you hear the bang?
Oh no, I didn't hear the bang.
My bike was here and I was sitting there and then bang! And the tire was off.
This is not what you want.
Exactly.
It's because it was in the sun maybe?
I have no idea.
Was it like too much pressure?
Usually I put on the 4 bar, what the rim is saying, what's the maximum. Came a little bit too hot. Too much bars on it, I don't know. Weird, I never had that before.
I mean, TCR is for first experience. Are you a mechanic?
Yeah, but not for bicycles. My first job was aircraft mechanic. Yeah. Then I'm working as an engineer. So that's all the bicycle stuff is not the problem. It's more, this is a completely new bike. Because I built the bicycle for this race. And I had an accident 2 weeks ago. So crack in the frame, like the front wheel was everything destroyed, you know. So I needed to just went to the next bicycle store, bought a new bike out of the shelf.
Oh my god, yeah, okay. A bit of a stressful experience.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But usually I like to bike, to build the bikes.
Yeah, it gives you like some security that you know you've built it, so you know how it is.
I know what it is and I know that the bike is like I wanted to have it. That's and has exactly the parts I wanted to have it on. Because here on this bike, there are some parts on it I don't like, actually. So, but I didn't have the time to change it.
I mean, so far, the bike brought you here at CP1.
Yes, exactly.
Before the cut-off time. So don't blame him too much.
No, of course not. It's always the rider, not the bicycle.
We have a brilliant team at the control point in Flans. They've been seeing riders roll in over the last couple of days, and are here to welcome some weary faces as cut-off time approaches. Sophie spoke to Rike, one of our volunteers.
It's been fairly busy the last 12 hours. So riders coming in, and they came over the mountain during the night. They're knackered.
Yeah, I see that last climb is
tough. Yeah, I think they feel the climb, yeah, for sure. But they're in good spirits. Yeah, most of them are doing really good.
Good. And are you, I heard like you're cheering them up a bit.
Yeah, of course.
It's important.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a fairly good job getting over that mountain, so.
They deserve some cheering.
Yeah. And it's also nice, woo! Nice to meet some smiling faces when you've been alone on the road. So. Yeah.
Richard Parry and Sarah Burns, Cap 418 A and B, are one of our pairs, and they've made it to CP1 too. There are plenty of benefits to having a riding partner, but it does also involve a bit of give and take. You have to work together.
Now that your pair is away, how is it to be riding with him?
It's fine. We've done other events before. I think the difficult thing is we have different times when we're like awake or a bit tired. So I'm a morning person, and then he's an evening person. So when he's grumpy, I'm really like, hey! And then
we haven't killed each other yet.
We haven't, not yet.
You just arrived at CP1?
Yes, yeah, no, really, really pleased. We were worried that it was going to be a bit tight. I mean, I know we've not got loads of time, but yeah, we had a crazy day yesterday. Just went the way that no one else went. Like,
oh,
yeah. I think we just chose a really, really stupidly hilly route. And then all the dots seemed to be going like south, and then we were like heading like cross country. It was really hilly.
Did you question your route, like, or up to the point where changing it, or
we really questioned it, but we went through the national park, and once we were in, we were trapped. Like, it was like we've just got to commit, and we knew like But that was it would get us, guess, it would get us where we were going, but it was just that fear when you see everyone else going the other way, going, oh my God, we missed something so blindingly obvious.
Yeah, I mean.
Lily Delannoy, Cap 386, arrived at the control point in Flam earlier this morning. Having comfortably made the cutoff time for GC, she now basically be chilling. Yeah.
So to give people a context, I'm catching you in your bed. Basically, yeah. In your BV.
Yeah.
You're BVing in the grass next to the CP1.
I was in my tent, but the sun gave me two oats.
Yeah.
And so there is a mountain behind, in front of me. I'm so good.
When did you arrive at CP1?
At 5 o'clock this morning. My idea is to sleep 5 hours and go to the gravel. And after, I see, because the race is long and I know I can ride more than 300 kilometers per day. Today is a calm day for me.
Another pair to arrive at CP1 is Malgorzata Grischuk and Kinga Parsinka, caps 415 A and B. They're feeling pretty down and in desperate need of a rest.
We had a plan, A, B and C. Now is C, so it's okay.
Why do you think you're a bit slower than expected?
We are exhausted, so we have to sleep a little now, yes, relax. And it's impossible at the moment, be there in 2 days.
When was the last time you slept?
We had today
40 minutes
for powering up in
on the bench.
Yeah, in the park. So it's not quite.
And that's all.
And when was the last time you had like multiple hours of sleep in a row? Like
4 hours one day ago.
4 hours.
Yeah. But it's still not enough. It's not like a bed here. So.
Also at CP1 in time, Lars Olausen, Cap 147.
You got your stamp?
Yeah, I got my stamp. Just charging my electronics. Slept in a child's playground last night in a little wooden hut, which is very nice.
Would you do that in your normal life?
kind of yes and no. As I do these things in what I consider my normal life, then yes, but not in my everyday life. But I'm in the UK, I'm a big fan of church doorways, porches. They're fantastic.
So now that you checked CP1, what is your next goal? Like, how do you keep motivated? Or
my next goal is breakfast in Flam, I think. And then I'll look at my phone and think what's next. But yeah, I mean,
short-term thing, yeah. It's good.
Sweden, getting to Sweden would be good. That's a fairly short-term goal.
Do you know any ABBA song?
Pardon?
Do you know any ABBA song?
I'm not a big ABBA fan. I did learn some Swedish a while ago, a long time ago, but I can't remember very much.
Do you know how to say, like, I'm going to Sweden?
I know how to say jag heter Peter, varifrån kommer du, jag kommer from England, and I love the Swedish word for 7, which is sju.
Could you give me your cap number in Swedish, please?
En fyra sju, 147.
Very few riders complete TCR without going through at least a little adversity. Henry White, cap 41, has had his fair share already.
So my bike was damaged on the flight. Then I got food poisoning on Saturday night. And then I made some really bad route choices. A lot of too much gravel, a lot of fallen trees, hiker bike. And then it turns out my seat clamp was also damaged on the flight. So my saddle has been gradually sliding down, and now I have really bad knee pain. So it's
it's a bit of a bumpy road.
Yeah, it could have been a better start, but I've made it to checkpoint one, which is impressive. I didn't think that was going to happen.
So what's your strategy now? Do you have one?
Get to Greece.
that's a good strategy.
See what happens.
Reaching even the first control point within the GC cutoff time is a huge achievement in itself. It's also the first milestone of many, and provides a moment for riders to reflect on what lies ahead, and perhaps reassess some of those pre-race goals. With little time to spare, Eric Lamboli, Cap 362, rolls into Flam.
My plan is always to be early,
a bit more than...
but my body is not agree with me. So,
but a lot of riders have been saying that the time cutoff for CP1 was quite short compared to CP2.
Yeah, because it's a lot of elevation as well. So yeah, it's true.
Is it going to be a cruise now, like chill ride now, or?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. First, I'm going to have a big lunch, a huge lunch, because I didn't have a breakfast this morning. And then, I think I'll try to go to bed early tonight, wash my clothes and so on, and then go back again.
What's your next goal, basically?
Honestly, my first original goal was definitely GC. Mm-hmm. Now I see it's difficult. And the most important goal is definitely the journey. I mean, so many countries, so many cultures, so many architecture, so many food, so many people. So that's the first objective. Mm-hmm. And so I think I could drop GC for that, definitely. Because I see also that my body cannot make it. But my first objective was definitely the journey, and ideally GC. But I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it.
I mean, the race is young. Your body takes a few days for your body to adapt. So
yeah, yeah, also.
You never know.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah, that would be amazing.
As 11 a.m. approaches, it looks like all riders likely to arrive at CP1 before the cutoff have made it. But Michael Hunziker and Bjorn Frey, caps 420 A and B, have other ideas. They arrive with seconds to spare.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on!
Quickly. Bring it. Good. Throw it on the table.
Yes.
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 That was tight.
So when did they arrive?
2 days, 15 hours and 0 minutes.
So they just made it by a second.
On the dot. So they had to throw their stuff on the table.
You guys made it with 1 second.
1 second.
To spare. One.
Oh. Yeah, you said we need some spare time.
And with that, volunteer Jacob shuts up shop.
Yeah, so control point one is officially closed.
How many riders have you been have been there?
We've had 333 riders through. It's more than we thought.
Perfect. Congratulations to all of them.
Yeah, well done.
Of course, for all the excitement of welcoming those last riders into the control point, the race goes on, and there are others starting to arrive who've just missed out. Sophie speaks to Ollie Buttle, cap 410.
Do you know what time is it?
Yes, I know, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, you arrive with like 45 minutes.
45
minutes after the cutoff time.
I tried it, but there were several things, lots of traffic, just a little bit late, a bit too slow in the uphill, so just a combination. I thought in the morning, maybe, but I wasn't sure. So I already thought it might be very close. So.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel
It's not so big problem. I will, of course, keep on going.
That's what we want to hear.
Yeah. And so that's GC is out now, but I tried it.
Yeah, you can still get a finish.
Exactly. So maybe I just keep on going and try to stick to the plan.
Good. Yeah. So don't be late for the finisher party, yeah?
Maybe. Maybe, yeah.
As Sophie and the rest of the team in Control Car 2 prepare to leave Flam, Margazorta, Groyschuk and Kinga Pasinka reappear after a few hours sleep. They were pretty deflated earlier. It's amazing what a good sleep can do.
You seem a bit more awake than earlier. I talked to you like maybe 2 hours ago, and you were a bit down, if I may say. But it's funny to see that 2 hours ago you were a bit not sure about anything in the world.
That is,
And now you feel better.
Yeah, I'm feel
so strong now.
Because of sun. Yeah. The weather is beautiful now. There is no rain.
No, it's apple and
dry.
And it and coffee.
So simple things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yesterday, our race leader Robin Gemperla, cap number one, was toying with the idea of pushing hard to try and reach the early ferry from Malmö that would take him across the Baltic Sea and firmly cement his position. He thought it might be possible. There was a glint in his eye, and of course, he made it. With his dot slowly crossing the water to mainland Europe, he leaves behind a bunch of chasing riders. We'll have to make do with the later ferries from the southern coast of Sweden. Later tonight, the team in Control Car 1 will also be ferry-bound. As a little warm-up, they're currently catching riders as they disembark from the shorter Oslofjord crossing further north. Jake speaks to Larissa Unsin, Cap 346.
I spoke to you last at Finse, at the end of Parkour 1.
Yeah.
You were in about 10th position, or you were in exactly 10th position, actually, yes. On the Finse leaderboard there. You're now in 5th, you know, you've made up a lot of ground overnight.
Ah.
So, is that surprising?
Yeah, for me, yes.
You said to me that you had, you'd made a plan before the race, right? But not so much for battling for position, just for your own ride.
Yeah.
Are you surprised about where that plan has situated you in the field?
Actually, yes. Because there are so many strong Finse riders, so yeah, I didn't. But yeah, it's second day, so for me, it means nothing. Yeah.
Has it still felt as if when you're riding, you know, you said there's a lot of strong Finse riders and lots of you quite bunched together. When you're riding, does it feel like a race? Does it feel like there are people passing you and you're passing people? Or do you not see each other?
No, actually, I always feel bad when I pass people. I'm more like, oh, sorry. Yeah.
Do they seem not too happy when you pass them?
I don't know. You can chat with everyone, so it's nice. But yeah. I don't feel comfortable when I pass someone.
Just look the other way.
Yeah.
Finally, Jake hopes to quickly speak to Ellen Fromenty, as she also leaves the Oslofjord ferry. But she is in a rush to get riding and head south, so she can take part in the real Baltic ferry game. Quite right too.
So you're going. Bye. What do you reckon, David? Is she racing?
She seems to be racing now. Yeah, after her protestations yesterday that she was riding, not racing, the fact that she shot off the ferry and gone straight down this road and out of the ferry port suggests otherwise.
Well, they've just ridden by a dot watcher who's holding up a sign, which I imagine is in Norwegian, saying something along the lines of, get a move on.
With all riders away and on the road, Jake grabs a quick word with our local dot watcher.
Are you out here to support the TCR?
Yeah.
Nice, what's your name?
Carmi.
Carmi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What's brought you to here then?
Like the race. Like,
of course.
And I'm a little bit dot watching. And so, yeah, I started last year to dot watch. And so I continued. And this year you started in Trondheim.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I saw the route that I'm living here close by. So,
nice.
So everybody is passing here. So
is your plan to stay out here all day?
I don't think so. Maybe 3 boats more than I go. And nice. I have a bike trip planned as well. So.
Oh, where are you going?
A tiny one, a day trip to a nearby tower. You can see the surroundings. So.
Wow. Is there anyone who you've been tracking in particular?
No, not this year. Last year was a little with Cox, so that's how I got to see the race last year. Yeah, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's 3 p.m. now in control car number 2. We just left CP1 and we are on the Parkour 1B, which is like just after the first CP. Basically, it's a gravel road that follows a river. It's really, really beautiful. And which is really funny here is that there is many cyclists mainly going down, because you can actually get a lift up the mountain and then people are just cycling down. So there is a bit of a contrast between our riders like pushing up to climb in like full cycling gears versus cyclists going down wearing shorts and flip-flop and looking not really professional, or they don't really seem what they are doing. So we had to be quite careful with the car actually going up here, up there, because really professional cyclists are TCR riders versus just tourists on a bike. Cycling is for everyone.
Sophie speaks to Christian Trenkel, CAP 261.
You listen to the podcast of yesterday, and that gives you, or gives me at least, a lot of motivation.
I put things in perspective, right? Like,
yes, it's really, you know, you hear all the experience from the other riders, and then you think, ah, I don't want to now do the cutoff, so I want to still be in the race. So it's a big motivation. 2 years ago, I was I missed checkpoint 3, and then it's I mean, I still listen to the podcast, but then it was always, I mean, I went to Istanbul as a finisher, but then it was always a bit then it's also a bit sad if you're not still in the race, but I still listen.
We're still watching your dots, even if you don't think we are.
Yeah, that's nice.
We really like to see it when people carry on after the time cuts, because that's nice. It's like you're here to ride across the continent. It doesn't really matter if anyone took a CP.
It still was great as a finisher in Istanbul, you know, where we were roughly, I don't know, maybe 10 people there, and then we had our own finisher party in Istanbul, and we are still connected, so...
That's cool.
So it was really nice, yeah. So it's definitely, you have to continue, even if you missed the cut-off time.
Ultra races can be brutal. Even in the early stages of a long race like the TCR, riders are tested to their limits, both physically and mentally. That's why it's so important to maintain a positive mindset, to embrace the majesty of the adventure, and remember what made you sign up in the first place. Hank Beerstecher, CAP 98.
I don't even like cycling.
You don't even like cycling?
No.
What do you mean?
Huh?
What do you mean?
Well, it's too much effort, isn't it? When I was 16, I could buy a moped. And that's the first thing I did. I bought a moped and sold the bike. But yeah, at 45, I was getting a bit podgy and a bit slow. So I thought I'd cycle to work.
That's an amazing story, that you went from like commuting your bike, not actually liking cycling, to sign up for TCR and to make it on time at CP1.
I mean, you didn't sign up for the easiest one, if I may say so.
But I said, Judge Judy says, you know, beauty fades, but stupid lasts forever.
I mean, you're still going on, so...
Well, yeah,
you're still riding, so...
If I'd missed it, I could have taken the tourist mode. Now I have to struggle my way to see if I can miss CP2.
Okay, yeah. Try really hard then not to, okay? So you will have to go to CP3 and then so on.
Yeah, that's right. The dread already fills me now.
Before we head back to Sweden and the fight for the ferries, the team receive another dispatch from Andrew and John, CAP 0, Serie A and B. And it's bad news. John's knee is completely kaput. For him, it's time to make a call to communications manager at TCR number 12, Andy Dodd. This is the role that John usually takes on the race. Before taking up post, Andy was instrumental in recceing and planning the route through Norway to CP1.
Hello, Andy. This is CAP 00B.
Hello, 00B.
How are you doing?
How are you? I'm okay, thank you.
So I wanted to call you and tell you that CAP 00B is scratching from this year's Transcontinental with the most ubiquitous reason of all, and that is sore knees.
Sore knees. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, John.
That's all right, mate.
Yeah, it is a pretty brutal route, isn't it? There's a lot of climbing in that first section.
Got a good mind to have words with the organisers.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to put a complaint in with whoever wrecked that, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of theirs.
I would, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah.
It was under guidance of...
CAP 00A.
00A,
Well, at least we're all present. All right. Well, we love you very much, and well done for doing such an important job on the race. Appreciate how conscientious you've been with all the messages and stuff.
lovely.
Yeah, I haven't actually said the bit where I accept your resignation.
A few hours later, Andrew and John give each other a lovely cuddle and go their separate ways.
Come here, mate.
No, thank you.
Really glad we got a few days together. We should be more, but...
Good luck, mate. Have fun.
Bye-bye. Enjoy your Interrail trip.
Thank you.
There have been significant changes at the front of the Flinter category over the course of the day. There are still several riders within reach of each other, but it's Sarah Bosslet, Cap 120, who's taken the lead as they begin to enter the ferry game.
I think I will be in the ferry 24 hours earlier than I expected to be.
24 hours earlier?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's incredible. Well, Sarah, it's a performance that's got you at the moment at the head of the Flinter Field the TCR, which is an unbelievable achievement. Is it the result of, you know, just kind of exceeding your plan, or was this ever the plan?
I want to do my race, and I still want to do my race. And it's really nice to be at the head of the field now, but it's a long way to go. But it gives me a big push to push to the ferry now. And it was my plan to perform even better than last year. And last year was already quite good. And this morning I already cried because I can only do that because of Mohit, because he believed in me. Yeah. And he told me that I can be top three. So I think now he will watch me and he will be so proud.
Camille Albisa, Cap 270, is another rider also going strong as she heads towards the Swedish coastline.
I saw you got the ferry over with Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice
we
to catch
had,
up.
I mean, we have a picture even together.
Yeah, I saw that. Super breakfast. Nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Were you comparing notes on the journey so far?
Yeah, actually, yes and no. I mean, also just talking about food. You know, it's always so random.
Yeah. Hey, look, I should probably let you go because you've got a ferry to catch, I imagine.
Yeah, trying to.
Have fun.
Trying to, thank you.
Hope you make it.
There are now many riders at the front who are either waiting to board or making ferry plans. The team in Control Call 1 are getting ready to head south and do the same. First, Jake spots Maxime Prieur, Cap 164, who's got a hard day of riding ahead of him. He's also extremely pleased with his sausage.
How are we getting on, Maxime?
Very good.
Yeah?
Look, my sausage. How cool is it?
Looks incredible. Mm. I'd ask for a bite, but I think you need it.
It's so much power with that.
Yeah, you're finding it some really good fuel.
I have that and an ice cream.
Hot and cold.
I can go for Greece now. And now I want to push to the ferry in Sweden.
Okay, so no sleep from now till the ferry.
If I can do that, I can change my place in the race. But I will try because I'm here for that.
Why not?
That's why I start very slow.
So this was the plan all along, to kind of just push through as hard as you could to get that first, to get the earliest ferry.
Yeah, because I'm going to sleep in the cabin in the ferry, and that's the main thing. And it's going to be great.
Fantastic.
I think so.
Time for a quick state of play from race director David.
Well, we're currently sitting here on the deck of the Tom Sawyer, a large ferry across the Baltic Sea. And so what we've seen is a pretty big split in the racing, with riders picking which ferry terminal they want to make their departure from Northern Europe onto mainland Europe. It looks like there's a three-way split at the moment. Malmo being the first option taken by Robin, but then the main split being between Trelleborg and Gstaad. So we've seen a fairly even split of riders based on their schedule heading for one of those two options. The Gstaad ferry will dock a little bit earlier than the Trelleborg ferry, and so those riders will be making their way into Poland by the time we disembark. On this ferry, we've got the likes of Lukas Stripmatter, Thomas Bury, Tim De Witter, bursary rider, Wojciech Wronka. So, and there's a few others scattered around. It's sometimes a little bit hard to discern who's just a tired traveller and who's a cyclist, as there's people all over the place. But yeah, it's been a long day making our way south and assessing those ferry options and getting our own crossing sorted. So hoping that tomorrow brings an exciting day of racing as those riders make their way towards Parkour 2A.
Before Jake gets some well-earned sleep of his own, he manages to get one last chat with Thomas Bury, Cap 337.
I arrived at 1:10. So basically it was meant to be a 2 a.m. ferry, but you need to proceed 1 hour before. So it was quite tight all day. And here we are. The ferry is late. We don't have a place to sleep. Some of the guys are sleeping, bivvying outside.
Outside?
Outside. Okay. On the deck or whatever. Yeah. Go visit them. You laugh.
I'll go and disturb them.
But yeah, I need some sleep.
Time for the recap of the day. In Contrôle Car number 2, we spent the morning at the CP1 welcoming riders who beat the clock. I love being around CP when it's about to close because it's like a race within the race. Everyone is desperately trying to beat the cutoff time, and once they do, that they give their bravery card, they all have a really big smile on their face and their joy is really, really contagious. So congratulations to all of you and to everyone who missed the cutoff but is still riding. Keep going to get the finish. Trust me, you really don't want to miss out on those delicious gyros waiting for you in Greece. But before we go into numbers, there is an important thing I want to put out there. We are watching every single dot out there, whether in general classification or not. You are all part of this adventure and we are following every one of you. So now numbers. 333 riders reached CP1, including 36 Flinta riders and 13 of our 14 pair that started. Gossip Girl moments.
Gossip Girl is real?
Today, one thing really stood out from the rider's Instagram story is Norway was full of trail angels. It started with a giant TCR spelled out in stones at top of a climb. Then there were hertz and TCR painting on roads. And later, hikers on the Rallarvegen held up a handmade sign pointing the way to Kalamata, just in case any riders had lost their GPS. How thoughtful of them. We won't consider this as outside help, I promise. Norway, you are setting the bar very, very, very high. Tonight's catastrophe badge goes to Fridtjof Schrimmer, Cap 111. After carefully adjusting his tire pressure in the cold at altitude, he did what any sensible riders would do when arriving at CP1, lay down for a nap, leaving his bike baking in the sun. He was abruptly woken up by a very loud bang. Turned out, cold air, warm sunshine and tire pressure are not always the best friend. His tubeless tire blew off the rim. Fortunately, nothing can stop Cap 111. Armed with his electric pump, he got the tire to reseat and was back on the road in no time. That's a good thing he built his own bikes and know how to fix everything in case anything else explodes. By the way, if you need a trick on how to not oversleep, contact him. Tonight in control car number 2, we drove 3 hours to move a bit forward in the front of the race to cover tomorrow the Flinta race and the top of the 30 riders of GC, as control car number 1 is taking the ferry tonight to Poland to follow the first riders there. Good night and good ride, everyone.
You can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.